Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Dungeons and Dragnos. This is a podcast where we come up with shit to do in Dungeons and Dragons.
Woo, woo, woo!
It's gotten looser and looser every episode for like the past six episodes. And we'll see if anything gets written down today.
And it started pretty loose. Let's be
it
honest.
Started really loose. We're joined today by Rory. How you doing, man?
I'm good. I'm good. Glad to be back. It's always fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. I point out every time that you're a one and only Patreon, so it's always kind of funny to have you on, because it's like you're paying yourself.
Yeah. Because I'm paying to be here. It's like a ticket to the experience I've bought here.
I'm joined as ever by Christopher. How you doing?
Woo! I'm doing great. There's nothing going on, because there never is. We're quarantined. We went for a big walk at the weekend. That's as exciting as it gets.
It was pretty exciting. We saw nothing. Rory, as our guest, have you got any ideas for something you'd want to make in Dungeons and Dragons?
I was thinking about, like, if you had like a pair of boots that just walked to where you wanted to go. Not like necessarily where you wanted to go, but where your quest was leading you. But like you didn't have control over that. Like, as soon as you put them on, you were off to your quest goal. Whether you wanted to right now or not.
And does it work like Captain Jack's compass, in that, like, you know, regardless of what you think you want, the compass knows where you should be going?
Yeah, it does, yeah.
Right.
That's what I was thinking. Like, yeah, basically like the end goal of the campaign, maybe, or the current part of the campaign that you're heading towards the end of.
Are these boots, are they like a kind of boot where, you know, people would make them specific to one quest, or they're more of a magical artifact that it just knows what the person's quest should be, whoever wears
them. I was thinking like that, the latter, the sort of magical item.
Okay, that's a decent one. What do you got?
That's interesting. So I was very happy to hear that in not too long, a mere 3 months or so, we'll be free, right? And it might kill some people, but we're going to be free. We're going to be able to do shit.
I just dabbed and then realised that absolutely no one could have seen me dab.
we knew it was there.
So I've been thinking about what I'm going to do when we're free. I'm excited for gigs. I'm excited to see friends whenever I want. I'm excited for pubs, you know. So I was thinking
and
about...
And it's your reckless activity that's going to cause a second lockdown a week after you do all of those things.
Oh, no. Well, we've been promised no more lockdowns, so I think it's just going to be death.
They promised us no more lockdowns?
Well...
Welcome to this episode of this, I guess.
yeah, that's been pretty explicitly said, I believe.
They can't do that. That's... Why would you do that?
Well...
Yeah, that's...
It's a really dumb idea. We promise the prices will never go up.
So, I've been thinking about how often the roleplay that accompanies leisure time is interesting, but not necessarily in any way tied to the gameplay. So you'll probably rest,
mm-hmm.
And that's about it.
In nearly all of my campaigns, someone tries to take crack at some point.
Okay.
So I make them roll to see, A, how well they withstand the crack, and B, if they form an addiction to crack. I make them roll 2 con saves.
when you say that, people always try and take crack in your campaign, are you, like, when they walk into a room, go, and there's some crack?
It's never my suggestion that they could take crack. I just, players are always like, oh, and my character has crack. And I'm like, all right, I guess we're going to do crack now, and I will roll for crack.
So, I mean, like, could... Oh, God, I did have something. I've really run out of steam here. So,
you know,
like,
why? It's because you're standing up.
No.
All the steam's gone out from behind your knees.
Energy. Oh, that's true.
We normally trap it in.
My vents behind my knees. It would actually explain the content of this podcast if I was one of those like AI idea generator
I
things,
really thought
it?
You were going to say if I was one of those people who vent steam from their knees. I was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
It would explain the consistency and quality of things that I come out with, I think, if I was just randomly generated. And also, having no ideas was an option in the random generator that was weighted pretty heavily.
When Chris went on Rory's podcast, he gave a really detailed lecture about drug control.
Yeah.
Just going to leave that out there.
Well, said before,
and then you're on
this
podcast
the,
and you're like, I am about as reliable as AI in coming up with ideas. The same person. Well, so my idea comes not directly from my friend James. He didn't say do this for D&D, but my friend James is one of the people I play D&D with. He's in my group, and his character, like most of the things that he creates, is completely insane, and it's a halfling. But it's a halfling who spent a lot of time in Frubia and around Frubians, which are a race that he invented to flesh out the backstory of his character. Mm. And Frubians are Frubes. And if you aren't aware of what a Frube is, I imagine they're probably... if you're American, think Go-Gurt. It's a tube of yogurt.
Yeah.
It's
a little sachet of yogurt.
Yeah. And his character isn't Frubian himself, but does come from Frubia, where the Frubians live.
Yeah.
And they're just yogurts that are sentient. And, yeah. And okay. I always thought that was insane. But as you know, his character is heavily tied to Frubia and all Frubian customs. We could even design a Frubian race made of yogurt.
And have you dug much into the lore and logistics of the Frubians? Or will we be contradicting his vision here? Or
I
do
don't
you just know that they're
think
yogurt
so.
People?
All I know is Frubians have this artifact called the Master Frube, which they use to make more Frubians.
Okay.
And also Frubes, which I think also exist in his vision. Frubes exist as well as Frubians.
Okay.
Is that like the chief export?
Maybe. his character was a criminal in Frubia for counterfeiting Frubes, I think, because he made a Master Frube X, which was like a counterfeit Master Frube, and therefore he drove the like sale price of Frubes into the ground by producing lots of cheaper counterfeit Frubes.
Okay.
So, yeah, so a Frubian race of yogurt people is my idea.
Okay. Well, talking of alternatives to Frubes, we could do a little bit on the Yakult people, cuz I hear they've got an interesting culture.
How long have you been waiting for that?
Oh, a good minute.
Yeah, maybe. All right, so out of shoes that take you where you need to go, not necessarily where you want to go,
yeah.
Your idea, which was leisure time?
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe D&D clubs. Who knows?
D&D clubs.
Have a rave.
How would a rave work? Is that what you're...
We can integrate it with crack, obviously. Mm-hmm. It's an important part of some raves.
When you said D&D clubs, I thought you meant like people playing D&D within the game of D&D. Like they had a club where they met up and played D&D.
In D&D, the people don't play like fantasy epics. They play things where you're like a tax auditor in the real world, and you like do spreadsheets.
Yeah.
That's what they consider fantastical. And so how to make a club in D&D and yogurt people. Do we have any favorites?
I mean, I'm obviously intrigued to dig down into yogurt people.
Oh, our doorbell's gone.
Okay, I'll be just all right. A second.
Was that entertaining for you to listen to all of us just mill about our house?
Yeah, it was great.
In milkshake desperation.
It's like a sitcom.
Milkshake Desperation. That's a good name for an album or a podcast or a big porno or something.
A big porno.
A big porno. With a big cast of 30 to 40 porn stars.
Crikey.
Wonder how much of that's going to stay in. If any.
What did they all get up to, those 30 or 40 porn stars?
Any favourites?
Yeah, I'm intrigued by these yogurt people. Let's go for it.
All right, yoghurty time. Yoghurty time. It's easy to make a race. It's easier to do the numbery stuff of a race, but let's talk about, you know, the culture might be a bigger discussion.
Yeah, the important thing is the lore.
So, Frubian, version 1, we will come back to this. I believe they're like the size of a halfling.
Okay. Okay.
Do they have like arms and legs, or are they just like
they in the PDF that he sent me? There was a picture of one with arms but no legs, so I kind of envisioned them as sort of hopping around. Actually, maybe it did have legs. Okay. Probably did have legs. The arms were a lot more prominent to me in order to kind of maintain the tubular shape of the rest of the body.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of imagining a wacky, waving, inflatable man.
Right. So I'm going to put... A halfling's still technically medium, or they go down to small, probably.
They're small.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, small. So as base walking speed, and in order to maintain that tubey yogurt shape,
yeah,
I reckon they can't have the standard base 30 walking speed, so I'm going to put it down to maybe 20.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure. They're a yogurty crawl.
But maybe they're really good at burrowing for some reason.
I imagined them being very good at swimming.
Yeah.
Like
an
eel.
Yeah, so they can have like a 40 swimming speed.
Imagine if it floats, doesn't it? So that's going to help. A bit of buoyancy.
Yeah.
Yeah, true.
Cover ground in quite a dramatically fast way. Major
people float, and that doesn't help. I haven't think that through, really. It doesn't...
I mean, it's more helpful than not floating, to be fair.
But giving them a swim speed over walking, like over a person, doesn't really make sense when you think about it like that. But yes.
That's true.
Okay, so when we think about the racial traits that a tube of yogurt would have, what comes to mind? Like, what do they need? Or what are they better or worse at?
I don't know a lot about yoga, I'm going to be honest. Also, like,
I got to say that, like, we can't make them tanky, right? Like, being a tube full of yoga has to mean that you've got sort of low HP, vulnerable. But since it's a game, the drawback has to have an incentive, right? So I'm thinking glass cannon. I'm thinking high damage, low health. Warrior yogurt is what I'm saying.
Why high damage, though?
Well, just because they have to be vulnerable. Right? Well,
naturally good at magic instead, though. You could go that way with it.
Yeah. Feel like a sentient yogurt would be good at magic. I think actually they could be tanky.
Okay.
Because they're squishy.
Yeah.
And I think to bounce back is what I imagine would happen. Do. I imagine their skin would be tougher than the actual casing of a fruit yogurt.
Yeah.
And fruit yogurts don't have like super weak skin.
You could make them like...
I mean, if you swung a sword at a fruit,
yeah, but if I swung a sword at you, then you'd burst out of stuff and you're not like...
Yeah, but are you going to armor up human. These fruits?
Well, what you could do is make them like resistant to like bludgeoning damage, but vulnerable to like, piercing and slashing.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. So we could call that squishy then. That's the first racial trait we're going to come up with. Squishy. Create race. This is going to be a real doozy. Resists bludgeoning. Slashing and piercing is a lot, you know? Maybe just one or the other. What do we think?
Okay, more piercing probably.
Piercing makes sense to me.
Could pierce up a flip tube pretty easily, I reckon.
Vulnerable to piercing damage. All right, so that's one thing. Let's talk about... The reason I kind of like Constitution is I just feel like it's a very life-giving thing to be made of yogurt.
Okay.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
If you're fully... I can imagine a high HP, but not necessarily that good defense. But Constitution doesn't mean good defense. It just means...
Yeah.
What can you stomach? And I imagine it's also probably kind of hard to... Because you've got all that active culture inside of you...
Mm.
It's probably like a big liver system as well. Like, you're probably kind of hard to poison.
Okay.
Because you're already full of stuff.
Yeah.
There's real science.
Are we considering their biology in a sort of human context? Or is it just a complete other thing? Like, do they have organs and yogurt blood? Or are they yogurt all the way through?
I consider them a kind of malleable yogurt the way through that will cluster in parts. Like, you know the plasticity of the human brain?
Yeah.
That, but yogurt for an entire body.
Okay.
That makes sense to me. Cool. Yeah.
No pushback on that, I see. And
we're deep into this discussion, yogurt people. We are. Like, why are we going to argue with that?
You got away with I think yogurt people would be good at magic with no justification 2 minutes ago.
Alright, so I'm going to call it active culture.
Nice.
As a racial trait for high constitution.
That's good, yeah.
And we'll say it's normally +2 is what you get to these things, so I'll put +2 con. Mm-hmm.
So given that you're running a quest that has this in, this could be probably the first time ever something we design actually gets used.
Yeah, maybe. I did once put into a campaign the She Sells Shit Shells by the Shit Shore, whatever we called it.
Yeah, I remember.
A shell that you put to your ears, but instead of hearing the sound of the ocean, you hear the brown note and you shit yourself. This is a great show. We come up with the best things. What else about this Froob race stands out? I mean, the magic thing is a runaway train. There's no point in stopping it. but how does that manifest? You know, like,
well, see if you have different kinds of magic in D&D, so that maybe like. No, usually by race you get a +2 to one stat and +1 to the other, so maybe like wisdom, a +1 to wisdom would how it be.
Yeah. Well, so I suppose there should be some spells, some races get like their own little racial spell list of like just 2 spells or something. Are there any spells that a sentient tube of yogurt would be more adept at doing, do you
think?
Maybe...
It's been a long time since I've played a magic user, but I'll just run through some spells in my head and think if one applies to yogurt, we'll jump on that.
Yeah, well, let's have a look. I'm going to open up the handbook and we'll have
healing,
just
maybe?
A
if you want to go with the active culture thing, that idea.
Yeah, like, they can just... Oh, that would be so gross. Can you imagine? You're like, oh, you've been stabbed, and then here comes your fruit friend. He's like, it's okay, I know heal. And then he just sort of squirts some of his innards into you.
Yeah, that would be bad.
But then you feel better.
Yeah, I guess if it's magic healing yogurt...
But it'd still be a weird, upsetting thing to happen, for sure.
Sure.
Does it taste like yogurt? Like a flavoured yogurt?
Oh, yeah, it absolutely tastes like yogurt. And in fact, I think if we want to spend an episode on this, then a place we could go is sub-races, which are different flavours.
This is something I had in the bank, so I was very interested in exploring what different flavours could be.
Yeah. I don't know nearly enough about Froobs for this.
No.
Like the actual product.
I love the strawberry one.
That's true.
I think.
Yeah. So I'll have to Google Froob flavors to have a real appreciation.
No idea how to spell Froobs. I don't even.
I believe it's Froob.
It is not. It's Frubes.
Well, fuck. do you think they'd sponsor this episode if I ask them? Probably,
yeah,
right?
Harm in asking.
Prestidigitation, because like one of the things in Prestidigitation, it's just such a weird spell. One of the things is you can flavor things.
Yep.
Okay.
So like that's... But Prestidigitation is a spell where you can just do like 8 things, none of which seem to be connected to each other.
Yes, clearly. It's my favourite spell.
It's really odd.
It's so good. It's so useful as well. It's just like a little, very useful thing for things you wouldn't usually think about again. If you were going to have any spell maybe in life, cure... that's the one you want. Because...
Maybe cure wounds, because it's like, you know, they're made of this salve, we've decided. Mm-hmm. Calm emotions. You ever been angry and having a yogurt?
Certainly not a fruit. Can't be angry eating a fruit.
Yes. Especially because it's a pretty passive... They're literally, you suck on the top of them. They are literally a pacifier.
Are the healing properties of the yogurt so extreme that you could raise the dead?
That would be amazingly racial. It's like a ninth level spell.
If you're like a lemon yogurt, it's so tart that you can just...
So we get the poison spray. You could kind of go the other way, like a spray of... I don't know. Maybe they've got a gland of like poison yogurt. Of like off yogurt.
Poisoned yogurt. Oh yeah, off yogurt. That's a good idea. Fear.
I've just seen Finger of Death, which seems like a
very high level spell.
A bad thing to exist. What do you know what it does?
It's really bad. Sounds horrible. You point at somebody and it's like they can just die instantly. There's like a chance.
I feel like if we're going to grant something for being a racial spell, it has to be either a cantrip or a first level spell. It can't be higher than that. Rory, do you know what Shillelagh does?
Shillelagh.
Shillelagh.
And
I like what I do.
It makes like a stick magical, I think. Like a magic weapon. Maybe.
Alright. Turn sticks magical. That's a good one.
Yeah, it means you can use, like, if you're like a wizard or something, you can turn like a quarterstaff into like a shillelagh, which means you could use your magic to attack rather than your strength.
Yeah. What does thaumaturgy do? I think in my head, I think that sounds
similar to prestidigitation in that it does like a few little things. It can make your voice boom. It can make like scary, ominous noises, stuff like that.
Okay, maybe not what I thought then. Purify food and drink.
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Well, does it? I mean, yogurt.
It makes
is
as much sense as any of this does.
Distinctly unpurified.
I'm great at purifying humans, so I can only assume that yogurt would be great at purifying food.
That's a terrifying thing you just said. Should we go with the cure wounds, the first level cure wounds?
Yep.
So, what do we call the racial trait that gives you access to this magic?
Something like about it being good for you.
Oh, good. One of your five a day.
Yep. I don't imagine flips are one of your five.
And then you get five level one spell slots just for being a yogurt with the soul. Caveat that you can only use this spell.
I'm on the Fribs website now.
All right, good.
There's a little checklist here that says no added colourings, no artificial sweeteners, natural flavourings.
It could be source of protein. The Yogg's cast.
No. Fuck the Yogg's cast, man. I hate some.
But it's yogurt's casting.
I know.
Oh, I did my best cast.
I know, you did good. But we can do better. And by that I mean probably worse. But it won't be a reference to yogurt. what do I know about yogurt? There's culture.
Uh-huh.
There's bacteria. Probably don't want that to be in the name.
They have vitamin D and calcium, according to the website here.
Oh, I really wish we'd given it some combat abilities.
Because yogurt.
Because this is going to yog hurt would have been so easy.
This is going to yog not hurt. Because I'm going to cure you.
Mm.
all of that, that entire thing. But I'm going to put Yogg, and then in brackets, not, and then the H is uppercase, ert. Yeah? Good, good, all right. Yogg, brackets, not, hurt. Good. Gives you access to...
I can't believe Yogg's cast died for this.
this is much more Dungeons.
This is true.
What's the name of the spell? Cure Wounds? Is that a level 1 spell? Yeah, it is. Cure Wounds! And one level 1 spell slot!
Woo!
In addition to any other spell slots you get. Okay, so let's talk about sub-races.
Yeah.
Flavored sub-races. How could, like, well, first of all, let's talk about what are the other flavors of fruit?
This is where me being on the website and reading the ingredients comes in handy. Yeah. So your standard multi-pack, you would get a strawberry, red berries, and peach flavors. There you are. Your main
Okay.
There's also banana and raspberry.
Okay, well, I think let's focus on the standard mod, because we don't want to make, like, 5 sub-races and try and come up with something for each of them.
No, that's true.
So, we got strawberry mixed berries, did you say?
Red berries.
Yeah.
Red berries? Red berries
that presumably are not strawberries.
Red berries. You can't just say red berries. That's...
People say, like, summer berries, yeah. You know.
It's similar to saying mixed berries, but slightly more specific.
I suppose. It's just a really weird thing. Red berries. Alright, so strawberry, red berries, and...
Peach.
You know what the weird thing about red berries is? Because strawberries already got the red colour, the red berries is purple, despite having red in the name.
Well, given... that the peach is the universal symbol for being thick.
Mm-hmm.
They could be some big yogurts. They could be some tanky yogurts. They could be.
We've already
wide
got
yogurts.
A
they could be
tank
voluptuous yogurts.
We've got a tank as standard.
Yeah.
For the moment.
Yeah.
Though if we're given them the magic thing, then maybe only the peach ones get the tank thing, and then we'll come up with something else for the other two to have.
I think racial trait, all the right yog in all the right places, +2 to persuasion. And we're done.
So it's not that they're big, it's just that they're sexy.
Yeah.
The peach ones are just sexy. The sexy frubes.
Yeah, the sexy frubians.
Okay. All right. Yeah, let's do it. All right, how do I make a sub race? I think I have to, like, publish this race. All right, I'm not going to do that. We're just going to talk about it.
Yeah.
So, so peach one then has all the right yog in all the right places.
Yeah.
Which gives it proficiency in persuasion.
Yeah.
Because it's so sexy.
There's not a better proxy for seduction, is there?
I suppose we could give it charisma increase.
Okay, yeah.
So, like, a +1 to charisma or a +2 to charisma.
Yeah, go with it. But like, we could do that for all of them. Give them, like, a +1 and a stat. To go with a +2 in constitution, that would make sense, I think.
Yeah, okay. So peach ones get their +2 in con and their +1 in charisma.
To be clear, because they are incredibly hot.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Mixed berries.
Red berries.
Well, it's really hard to, like... Sorry, red berries. It's hard to hone in on something when you're working with red berries.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
what are the berries, do you know?
I can try and find out. I can't find one that's just the red berries one. The website's not great, I'm gonna be honest with you. It's not a good website, this.
Well, Chris has googled red beret on my screen.
Yeah.
And now
yeah.
We're looking at the Wikipedia page for red beret.
So that's a rank or signifier of something in the army.
So a combatty thing.
Yeah.
So red berries could be...
Proficiency could be... with ranged weapons, red beret.
Makes sense to me. What are we...
It certainly is some kind of pun.
What
and that's as good as I can give you.
What do we call it? the trait that
makes... Red beret.
No, because they're... Okay, just that. Literally, yeah. Just that. I don't know if that's going to track for literally anyone. I'm not saying it's a bad, but it requires them to Google red beret.
I knew vaguely what I was looking for. Okay.
I didn't, I guess.
Yeah, red berets and green berets. All right. So known thing. I think.
All right, cool. That's all that's left then is strawberries.
So, yeah, okay. What's the intrinsic values of a strawberry?
They wear their hearts on their sleeves, and by that I mean they wear their seeds on the outside.
Yeah.
Which is unusual for a fruit.
They're the most obvious basic bitch flavour.
That would be a weird thing to serve as an advantage at any point. Let's see. So what we've got right now is that they're crying all the time and they are a basic bitch. Maybe it would be like a challenge mode sub-race.
It's just worse at everything.
You're just strictly worse.
You're just disadvantaged on anything that involves like deception.
Strawberries aren't berries.
Okay,
no?
Yeah. No. So what if they're like good rogues and they're good at lying?
Is a raspberry a berry?
No.
What defines a berry?
If it's got berry in the name, it's probably not a berry. That's the definition.
But Chuck Berry.
In the dictionary.
No, help me out here. What is going on?
I genuinely don't.
No, Chuck Berry is a berry. I looked it up.
What makes a berry a berry? Because I know that a banana is a berry and a cherry is a berry, and those are the only things that I'm sure. A berry is three distinct fleshy layers. The exocarp, the outer skin, the mesocarp, the fleshy middle, and the endocarp, the innermost part, which holds the seeds. In addition to be a berry, a fruit must have two or more seeds. Thus, a cherry, which has just one seed, doesn't make the berry cut. That was the only one that I said was.
Blackberries.
Except for bananas.
And slowberries are berries. Lingonberries. They are.
Okay.
Interesting.
Oranges are apparently a subtype of berry.
Wow.
So, yeah. Berry is a meaningless term, is what I think
what
we've learned.
What are these things are?
Oh, shit, I've got a better pun.
What? Go on. We didn't write anything down, so it's fine.
Buried alive. Why are you grimacing at that? I've been a pun machine today.
Certainly.
I'm getting the door slammed in my face at every occasion.
It certainly contains the word bury.
That's all it has to do!
No, it also has to be relevant to what we're doing. Why would being buried alive make you better at...
They'll bury you alive. They're terrifying. They're the bury. I don't fucking know, Carl.
I like red beret more.
I also like red beret.
Alright, do we have any other ideas besides making the strawberry ones like good at stealth and shit?
Yeah, that's good.
Good at stealth?
Stealth and deception. What? And then call it straw man?
Stealth and deception.
Is that a good pun?
Nice, I like it.
Is it? I mean, well,
straw man's like a decoy?
They're good at making shit up.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant like a straw man logical fallacy in an argument.
Well, also that,
was,
if
like,
you give them deception and stealth, then
that
also
that.
Works.
I suppose, yeah. Okay, cool. So straw man is their racial trait they get, which makes them good at deception and stealth. So that doesn't give them a stat increase. It's two specific proficiencies. Which is interesting for a racial thing.
Yeah.
Cool. Alright, so I'm just thinking about the biology of the frubes, because a lot of races come with things like, oh, do they need to sleep in the same way? I'm just trying to think if there's anything else we could that might playing a frube a unique
experience.
What
about lifespan?
So
that's something that's listed in the races. How long do you think a frube lives?
It's got a shelf life about a week.
Yeah, but you know, they're constantly looking after it, you know.
Yeah.
Like, cause they're alive. If you killed us, we wouldn't have a shelf life that long. But as alive things, we do. My analogy is perfect. Don't even worry about it.
Okay, cool. Fairly long living. Maybe, I mean, the only interesting
what
thing...
What if they're long life yogurt? Maybe. Yeah, maybe nothing on that front, but...
I suppose I don't really care to dig much deeper into the gameplay aspects of the Froob. I want to know about Froob life.
Okay.
I want to know about the Froobians.
Okay, well, what do we want to know? Let's figure it out.
Hmm. Gods is always a good one.
Okay, what do we think sentient yogurt would worship?
Do they worship this anything? Thing? The, what was probably the master thing?
Culture. So, yeah, the Master Froob, which the existence of the Master Froob implies that Froobs don't breed. To me, anyway. Or maybe they just... No, they must not breed, which means they probably have, like, a worship or, you know, at least, you know, ascribe some amount of divinity to the bacterial cultures that they use.
Yeah.
To bring life to milk, because that's, you know, that's like molding life from clay in their, in their culture.
See, my mind just went to India and just having divine cows.
Yeah.
Also an option, yeah. I feel like they probably, though, they get their milk from wherever they can get it, though.
Where can they get it?
Okay, so it's like some of them are like nut milk Froobs.
If you can culture it, then yeah.
Can you culture, like, oat milk?
I guess
you could get shit to live in there. It's got sugar and...
Yeah. Yeah, I think they go through a different process when they're trying to make yogurts.
Yeah, I guess so.
I'm not sure exactly what they do. Should look it up one day.
Not one day. Doesn't say on the Froob website.
yeah, so like, probably, like, society is probably built around, you know, there's probably a hierarchy where, you know, the people with the best bacterial cultures are probably in charge or something. Mm. What do you, or are they seen more as kind of doctors are seen in this, like midwives are seen in this?
Well, it could be both. It could be like a sort of like...
Relatively low on the pecking order, despite how enormously important their job is.
Yeah, I imagine it being like a sort of like ancient priest type role. Like very well respected.
So do we think they're a deeply religious culture to this effect?
I think so.
Or is it... Okay. So, deeply religious to their bacterial cultures that they cultivate and work. And then I think an analogy can be made to, you know, the way the kind of cows exist in Hinduism. Because, obviously, they still have and manipulate and care for cows, but they also ascribe an amount of divinity on them. Yeah, it'll be the same. They've got their bacterial cultures... I'm sure a Hindu would love to listen to me talk about how this is the same as their religion.
You ever thought about how you're exactly like a living yogurt?
Okay, so that's kind of religion. What else? I mean, what are their customs? What are their holidays?
What are their holidays? Do they get sick pay?
I'm gonna make Froobia. That's good. The next campaign is in Froobia. It has to be.
Ideal. I'm trying to think of, like, what does a Froobian's house look like?
Like a fridge?
Right.
Maybe.
Yeah, do they need
up a question of, like, do they need to be refrigerated?
Yeah, because in my head, they don't need to be refrigerated, because they're alive and their skin is probably more like our skin.
Sure. That's horrifying, but sure.
Otherwise, they just wouldn't function, you know?
Like, yeah. I mean, we're already giving them some weird functions.
I was imagining it being, like, Froobia being, like, a quite hot place. I don't know why. It was, in my imagination, it was...
Well, probably that probably helps the bacteria take hold in the milk and multiply and stuff. So maybe their origins are in more temperate places. So kind of what biomes do they live around? Are they kind of like semi deserts? Do you think is where they kind of come from?
I don't know why. But yeah, it was kind of deserty. That's what I was thinking.
Cool. It's real interesting. Do they need homes? Maybe they're more nomadic.
They just. Sleep on... No, you can't sleep on the floor if you're a yogurt.
No, but they're a yogurt in a case. You can put the yogurt...
One of the things we've known about them coming in is that they have a nation. So maybe they're not nomadic.
Right.
Yeah, Yeah.
Here's the thing. If no one... What's their family structure like? Because they don't breed, we've decided.
Yeah.
So are they assigned families, or do they live kind of as one enormous communal, which thing that doesn't ascribe importance to a familial structure?
Mm.
You know, do you grow up with a million brothers and sisters, as it were? Type thing. In large community housing, it's made for everyone. Is it this weird, like, pure, super, above communist as an ideology? Yeah. We're like...
sort of hive mind.
Almost. Yeah.
I think that works.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So that's how they live. Which probably helps, you know, them have a real sense of community.
And if someone chose to be a Frubian, what could be their sort of call to adventure? Why are they breaking away from this... happy family of yogurts? Like, what would be a typical inspiration for a Frubian?
Maybe you could be tied, if we're talking about the religion is kind of about these cultures, that's a bit too singular. There's no religion in the world without a variety of sects,
so
it's probably different ways to, you know, bring those cultures to life are the essentially the different sects in this Frubian religion. And those people probably, you know, like any other religion with sex, hate each other for that, you know, for these divergences, and consider blasphemy the way that they raise their cultures and incorporate them into milk.
Mm.
So maybe it could be tied to that. You know, maybe you're doing it for your church to get resources, or you're spying on another sect or something. It's really, I've gotten really dark with this particular thing. They're basically at war. The yogurt religion war.
Who are the yogurt Catholics?
I don't know enough about different practices in making yogurt. I could probably make a really compelling case for what all the different sects should be if I knew that, but I don't. I'll look it up, though, before I make Frubia. I'm really into yogurt making. Properly learn.
Just post everyone some of your homemade yogurt.
But also, you know, I feel like a lot of people who play D&D, their characters are often people who want to break free from the culture. Maybe you're a Frubian who doesn't give a shit about any of this, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe you're, you know, a happy agnostic or atheist Frubian.
Mm.
Though, how easy is it to be agnostic or atheist in this? Because it's kind of like... I suppose it would be the same, because, you know, they probably...
Yeah, I think it's the same as it is for any character that chooses to be sort of agnostic or not really take on a deity. Because deities demonstrably exist in most D&D canons.
But there's still an amount where... You know, say you worship a more typical, you know, big god that will exist in D&D definitively, but you probably have never actually seen it. And much like religion in the real world, you know, it's more of a cultural thing where you put faith into this thing, but you're never given proof. And proof that is a display of your faith, is that you believe in anyway.
That's harder to apply. And not give a shit. Not believing in it. It's just like, I don't care.
Or maybe, you know, there is the knowledge that these bacteria really are just bacteria, and that they're not these holy things that these people are worshipping.
Sure.
Or, you know, you don't need to think about it as much as you are and make it your life and care how other people deal with their, you know, all this intersectionary nonsense doesn't matter, you know.
Yeah.
So I suppose, you could be an agnostic or atheist who's just like, you know, we need it, it's fine. I guess it's kind of like the difference between denying that the Bible exists and denying that the God exists, you know? Like, that's real, but maybe it doesn't matter to you. Yeah, okay. So I guess that's... Yeah, there's room for these Frubians to be diverse and interesting.
Mm.
What's Frubian trade? Because obviously they sell Frubes, and I guess...
What?!
Yeah.
Obviously, they are Frubes, Carl.
No, but they sell as well.
Sorry, I'm just going to go to Tesco and get some human meat.
No, they're Frubians, but they sell Frubes.
But they're made of yogurt.
Yeah.
Oh, this is horrifying.
They sell non-sentient yogurts. They are sentient yogurts.
I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I want them to trade in cheeses instead.
But if they've made a way for Froobs to become, the yogurt to become sentient, depending on how you treat it,
right,
that means that any dairy product could be made, any like treated dairy product could be made sentient. You could definitely, I think in a world where Froobians exist,
yeah,
Cheesians have to exist as well.
Okay.
Or if they don't exist, the possibility of them existing, yeah, as a full-fledged society is 100%.
And just general, okay, milkmen.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose if it's unpasteurized.
Wow.
The unpasteurized race. All right, well, we're coming up on 50 minutes here. So, anything else we got to say about Froobs and Froobians?
Something tickled the mubbing when you said a minute ago about trade that I wanted to pick up on. There are, like, yak folk in D&D. Uh-huh. I don't know if you see where I'm going with this. Ikaria, I think they're called. They're like yak. They are yaks. So maybe they have like a good like trade deal with them.
Okay.
For milk.
Right. Give us your milk, yeah, and we will give you yogurt made from your milk. It's a weird insular, circular
economy.
Well,
not just with them, obviously, but maybe they get the milk from them. And...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm all for them not selling yogurt. I want them to be like farmers that can trade for milk or something.
Well, if you're going to apply these Froobians into your settings, then that's a full possibility. In the one that I'm bound to because of my friend who made this, that they sell yogurt is,
okay,
is established. Yeah.
Oh, no.
I could make an entire podcast which is just dedicated to spending an hour making one thing that James said once make sense. Like, that's the kind of man he is. and I love him. Yeah. What else is important? It can't all be yogurt. I mean, what else? What sort of music do Froobs make? How else does their culture manifest, do you think?
Froob music.
What's Froob sex like? They don't breed, but maybe they fuck.
Yeah, yeah.
God, it has just occurred to me, even though I've been looking at his website for ages, that there is a guy, like a Froob, with arms on the box of Froobs. Sort of distracted me there, because I just haven't occurred to me the whole time. And also on the box of Froobs, there is another arm that looks like another Froob tearing the top off of the Froob on the box.
Oh, so they're cannibalising each
other. Seems like it.
Oh, wow. Good.
But the one who's getting his head turned off, like, is smiling and is with two thumbs up and says, easy to open.
That's horrible. All right, so
I'm so easy to kill.
A cannibal cult storyline in any Froobian set D&D campaign is a obvious place to go.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you need a subplot or even a main plot, in fact, I'm going to heavily consider that. yeah. Anything else we want to say about that culture before we wrap up today?
I'm all yogged out.
I'm all yogged out a bit as well. You got anything else? All right. Well, in that case, Rory, why don't you tell the people where they can find you and listen to your great show?
Yeah, I host a podcast called Dogcare Presents. You can find that at dogcarenetwork.com or probably wherever you found this. And Dogcare, one word, presents, also one word, but you probably worked that one out. And you can find me at Rory M. Spence on Twitter and at Dogcare Network on Twitter as well and Instagram.
All that stuff will be in the show notes as well. Chris and I have both been on it.
Great episodes.
It's
check them out.
I mentioned Chris's earlier, which was very
very full on.
Sensible.
Yeah, I get a lot of good feedback on that one as well. A lot of people like that one. It's a bit different from the rest of episodes, but it's very interesting.
Do people ever bring up the Bionicles episode that I did? Do people ever come to you to be like, hey, that Bionicles episode was incredible, the Bionicles one?
Well, no one
the
has
Bionicles
yet,
one
but
that Carl
tell you
did?
As soon as they do.
Yeah, links to that in the show notes. Thank you for coming on, Rory.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Pleasure.
And thank you, everybody, for listening. And we'll see you next month. Maybe it'll be an Easter special. Maybe we ran out of all Easter ideas the last time we did an Easter special, and we'll decide on the day.
Woo!
Bye!